along with my wife, Prophetess Gloria Broaddus. I, Apostle William T. Broaddus, Senior Pastor of Calvary Baptist Church of Upper Coima, would like to extend to all of you a blessed, glorious, and happy New Year. We want you to know that in all situations, our God is in control. Before I begin the message, I want to pray for a great man of God who comes out of Pacoima, California, that has done great things and continues to do great things for God, but yet his sister has asked us to pray, and that is the Elder Andre Crouch. Let's lift him up in prayer that God would heal his body so he can continue to contribute great songs, great music, great lyrics. And we ask you to ask God to just heal his body, the God we know who is able. Father God, we come to you at this hour, and we thank you for your loving kindness and the multitudes of your tender mercy. We lift up now, Lord, Pastor Andre Crouch. His life has been such a great testimony to all believers. And we pray, God, for your healing touch upon him. We thank you for his sister, his co-pastor, Sandra Crouch. We lift her up as she continues to lead her congregation in faith, believing for your divine miracle. So we thank you, God, and we submit this in the blessed name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. All right, we want to again say Happy New Year to you, and we want to look at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 28, and I will ask that you will read that as you listen to this word. If you are on the winning side, there have been some changes in your life. You are not what you were before you came to know Jesus as Lord. And because you're on the winning side, you can tell people, look at me now. Because being on the winning side, you are now in position to invite those who knew you before and know you now since Christ came into your life. You can invite all of them to look at you now. There are many benefits to being on the winning side in Christ Jesus, especially when we know that the winner is Jesus. On resurrection morning, Jesus became the victor over death, hell, and the grave. Death could not hold him. Hell could not contain him. And the grave could not stand him. Jesus Christ is alive. And millions of lives have been delivered because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is a result of the resurrection that we can encourage ourselves and other believers not to give up the faith, even in troubling times, even when circumstances are persecuting us. Because Jesus is the risen Lord, we have confidence and hope in our eternal state. because of the gospel message. We believe there are no mountains too high for us to manage in our lives. Receiving Jesus as Lord opens for us the wonderful opportunity to grow spiritually, because the new life in Christ gives us spiritual vision that the unsaved cannot boast of. Without Christ, our natural walk is devoid of the aliveness that only comes when Christ is in our lives and we are walking in the Spirit and not the flesh. Romans 8, verses 1 through 4, Paul says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit." Amen. Look at me now as a believer in the resurrection means the ability to look beyond the natural realm, seeing things not only as they appear to the natural eye, but having the ability to see through spiritual eyes and understanding things through spiritual wisdom. Look at me now is an invitation to those who are familiar with our personal history, with the demonstration of the change God has wrought in our lives, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. Our authentic spirituality may be foolish to the world. The change in our worldview may not tune in with current trends and thoughts, because we have crucified the flesh that we might receive fresh revelation from God has given us through his Spirit. Amen, somebody. Look at me now is also an invitation to look at me through the spiritual and not only the natural. To look naturally is to have a contaminated view, but to look spiritually is a recognition that God is at work dealing with the inner man. A natural-minded person cannot perceive that reality. It takes a person who is alive spiritually in Christ. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 through 16, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So the invitation to look at me now in 2015 brings to life the following: our past, our present, and our potential. 2 Corinthians really has to do with false teachers who have crept into the church after Paul had written his first letter. Many of the church members had been swayed by false teachers who had stirred up the people against Paul. They claimed Paul was not impressive in his appearance, nor in the way he spoke. They accused him of being dishonest and unqualified to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Well, Paul had sent Titus to Corinth to deal with these issues. And when he returned, Titus had good news to share with the apostles that the Corinthians had a change of heart. All of us have a past. If you have been born into this world, every experience was once a present experience. But time marches on. Time waits on no man. It moves forward. Whatever our present is, it will soon become our past. The Apostle Paul had, on many occasions, referenced his past to get his hearers to understand where he was now since his Damascus Road experience. He was not proud of the past he lived before he invited Christ into his life and made a commitment to follow and serve Jesus the remainder of his life. In the Acts of the Apostles, Paul shares with King Agrippa a side of his past that he was not proud of. In Acts 26:9-11, it says, "Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them, even to foreign cities." If we could look into the past of many of our lives, we would see times and instances, places, and words said that in the present we're not particularly proud of. Paul was not proud of the way he treated the believers of Jesus Christ. But we must also understand that at the time he persecuted the church, Paul felt he was defending God and the religion of Judaism. There are things done in our past out of ignorance that at the time we thought it was the right thing to do. Some of the things could have very well been at the expense of someone else, yet in our own hearts, we convict ourselves that we were doing what was well within our right. We thought it was the right thing to do. Paul reasoned that the persecution of the followers of Jesus Christ was in the scope of his religious obligation, that is, until he met Jesus. Meeting Jesus is an eye-opener to our past success and failures. When Jesus comes into our lives, what we may have considered a success may have actually been a time of failure. Paul continues speaking to Agrippa, revealing what in his past changed his present and future. He says, "While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will reveal to you. Paul heard and saw the resurrected Lord. He saw Jesus the Christ. It was seeing the Christ that changed Paul's life direction. When we see the Lord, it is something about his presence that changes our direction. Paul's encounter with the risen Lord was more than an intellectual exercise of reason and logic. What Paul confronted on the Damascus Road was a very spiritual awakening that allowed him to see Jesus. I tell you today, whatever our past may have been, a meeting with Jesus transcends our yesterdays by bringing into focus our brighter future in the resurrected Lord. It is only in Christ that our past failures, our past spiritual failures, are washed clean by his healing stripes. When we are confronted with the reality of the resurrected Christ, then our past should no longer be that which stops us from pursuing our destiny in the Lord. These are Paul's words to King Agrippa concerning his past conversion experience. Read for yourself Acts 26, verses 19 to 23. For there he tells King Agrippa, I was disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. Good God Almighty, here was a man that had persecuted the church, who had turned away from persecuting. Now he is a defender of Jesus Christ. That's what God seeks from us. Oh, hallelujah, our obedience. It was the obedience of Christ by dying on the cross that brought reconciliation between God, the Creator, and man, the created. Whatever the past failures of humanity are, from the Garden of Eden to the return of Christ for his bride, the church, we are covered and forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. This is what Christ died for. This is what is at the heart of what every Christian believes. And since the work of Christ transcends our negative past, whose passion was controlled by our sinful flesh, we have the blessed satisfaction of knowing the security of our present and future is the work of Jesus Christ. Paul understood the gospel message of Christ as one of reconciliation. It was one of putting the past behind us and reaching for a greater tomorrow in Christ Jesus. I came by to tell you today, as you and I go deeper into this new year, hallelujah, I can tell somebody, look at me now. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, hallelujah, but now I see. I can tell them now that through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace would lead us on. So I say to you, this year, let us all walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you. Thank you, Brother Melvin Slade. Thank you for what you're doing for the body of Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.